In today's episode, you'll learn all about employee resource groups, what they are, their history and evolution, as well as their benefits. We also discuss how to start one, how to encourage people to join, and how to maintain engagement. Finally, we explore if all businesses actually need an employee resource group. Let's make a social impact. Hi everyone, I'm Carl. Welcome to the Social Impact Show, a channel where you get the latest strategies and tips to help you scale and grow your CSR and goodness programs. So today, my guest, you've probably seen her before. Her name is Janelle Saint-Omer. She is a social impact and DE&I professional. And today we're going to be talking about employee resource groups. So Janelle, I guess, you know, ERGs has been a hot topic in social impact, and we're hearing a lot about ERGs and why they're required. But let's bring it back a little bit. Let's take it back down to what is an ERG?
So hi, Carl, and hi, everybody. So basically, an employee resource group is an employer, you know, recognized employee-led group of individuals who come together based off of a shared identity. So typically, this is to build community within the workplace, you know, to discuss personal performance, to discuss professional goals, and really just helping typically individuals from historically excluded populations, you know, to come together to really form that community at work. So if you think of, you know, a women's group, a women's network, women in leadership, women in technology, or you think of, you know, a Black employee network or a Hispanic employee network, you know, typically they're coming together based off of that shared identity and really helping to drive some of the business goals for the company, but then also drive some of the, you know, the goals around growth and professional development for employees.
Why would a company either encourage or enable people to have, like, what are the benefits, I guess, for both? And you've touched on this a little bit, benefits for both the employees and for the company.
Sure. So it's typically around empowerment and really building out that sense of community. You know, historically, a lot of companies, as we know, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion has really been a thing that's been at companies for a number of years. And employee resource groups were really designated to bring a voice to the employee. So where there was a disconnect in terms of how employees were actually feeling, the day-to-day realities of their lived experiences within the business, you know, how they thought of opportunities or policies or procedures, right? Any of those kinds of things in terms of, you know, was there inequity that existed? Was there biases that existed? So employee resource groups really came out of this need to give that voice to the employee and help them add to what a company is doing to actually enable a company to do it better. You know, so to really encourage a diverse and inclusive work environment, you know, encouraging their employees to be themselves, you know, providing them that space to come together to have that level of, you know, camaraderie and support and connection across the business based off of that shared identity. So, you know, really it's for empowerment, it's to build that sense of community. And it's really to help, you know, the company tap into a group of people that perhaps they don't have that direct connection to allow them to actually do what they're doing better. So if you think of things like, you know, materials or a website and sort of, you know, things lacking in diversity, you know, employees can really give voice to, hey, you know, a lot of our images are actually not diverse and we really need to change that. Or, hey, you know, within my particular community, our company has a reputation for actually being really difficult to work with, difficult to get into, and exclusive. So if, you know, from an employer brand standpoint, we actually want to be able to encourage more folks with disabilities to work here, or, you know, more people from the LGBTQ2, you know, community, then we need to change some of these things. So that employee voice that enables the company to make different, you know, sort of decisions and changes in how they operate to actually be able to kind of encourage a more inclusive and diverse employee force.
And how has ERGs evolved over time? Because I remember, you know, when I entered the workforce around what, like 2010 or so, like, like how... I don't remember ERGs like being apparent, but, you know, how has that evolved over time? Because it's been pretty prominent over the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ERGs have actually been around since the 1960s, and not a lot of people know that. You know, Xerox was the company, I think, that formed the first ERG. So after sort of the civil rights movement and stuff like that, and some of the riots in Rochester, New York, they were formed, launching sort of their National Black Employee Caucus, you know, at the Xerox company at their headquarters to really advocate for change. So it actually came out of that movement. movement, and they've been around. A lot of companies have had them for a number of years, but I think they've taken on sort of various forms, you know, some in terms of very formal and structured, others, you know, more informal within the business. But I think to your point, over the last 3 years, and really since kind of the racial tensions of 2020, a lot more companies are tapping into, you know, really what it means to be a diverse and inclusive company, to actually have equitable experiences for their people. And as part of that, they're looking to actually bring in or start or structure an employee resource group. And in many cases, it's actually coming from the bottom up, where it's the employees within a company who actually want to come together to, you know, this shared experience, shared identity, in many cases to actually encourage allyship across their company. So to help to educate and raise awareness of, you know, particular challenges for their communities within their company, but then also to really just come together and rally and support one another.
Get the latest trends and insights from the most passionate and purpose-driven brands at Benevity Live. Join the over 1,600 CSR professionals at this year's conference from May 9 to 12. Register now at BenevityLive.com and use the promo code SISBL23 to get 20% off your pass. We hope to see you there. So you mentioned bottom up, and I think that leads to my next question about how do you start an ERG at a company that doesn't have one? And maybe, like, how do you know what type of ERG or the groups that would need to start one? Like, and you mentioned it was bottom up.
Yeah, so typically it comes out of, you know, a need from employees, and, you know, it is supported by the company. So, you know, if a company is looking to start one, or employees within a company are looking to start one, you know, I really encourage you to, there's many resources online around kind of an ERG charter and how you'd actually kind of structure your ERG, and every company is a little bit different. But, you know, it's the kind of thing where most companies do encourage employees to come together and, you know, to build community for a variety of reasons. So it's not actually something that right out of the gate needs to be, you know, sort of company sanctioned or any of those things, unless you're trying to actually, you know, get at some of the DEI budget. So in that case, I'm sure most companies will have some level of a structure around their DEI, you know, an individual who's responsible for that. So, you know, putting together a proposal, you know, building out that employee resource group charter and presenting it, you know, to that individual or that team within your business to say, you know, this is the need that we've identified within the company. This is how employees are currently feeling. This is why we think an employee resource group would be important. And this is basically the level of support that we're looking for from you. And having that conversation, that two-way dialogue around, you know, does it sort of fit within the mandate of the company? Does it fit overall in terms of the culture of the company? And then, you know, kind of really starting from there. I've certainly seen a lot of companies where it comes out of a particular event. So if you think of, you know, a group coming together to do a campaign around Black History Month or International Women's Day, in many cases, you have groups of employees who want to come together to actually mark one of those cultural awareness dates and events. And then their group certainly evolves from there.
Have you ever seen an ERG that maybe isn't aligned with the business goals? I'm not saying they would be in direct conflict, but have you ever seen it where, like, an employee resource group is not really connected to the business goals? Has that ever happened before?
Yes and no. So I say yes in that, you know, the reality is with a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, programming strategy, that some of the needs of employees from historically excluded populations and, you know, their lived experiences within the day-to-day of their business, there might be a misalignment in the true understanding as to a company's culture and how your employees actually feel. So I certainly have seen and heard of examples where employees do want to come together to start a group because they recognize the benefits for, you know, themselves and for each other in terms of, you know, support and advocacy. See, you know, really, you have more senior employees from a particular group mentoring more junior employees around just sort of navigating career challenges and all those things. But the tension can sometimes come with the business where there is, well, there's not a need, you know, ERGs are actually exclusive, or, you know, we don't have these sort of challenges around sexism or racism or homophobia or ableism within our company. So, you know, why are you trying to create a structure that's actually going to create division within a company? But I think that in those cases, it's really where the employees from that particular group will start to really talk about the realities of the experience, you know, ask about the employee engagement data, ask about the surveys that they have and, you know, some of the results. And a lot of companies don't do a deep dive into their data to actually see that your employees typically from historically excluded populations, whereas your top line employee engagement data might be good and positive. If you actually drill down, you know, one or two levels deeper, you'll actually, in some cases, see that there's a bit of a disconnect between what you're seeing at top line in terms of overarching employee engagement and how your employees from historically excluded populations might be feeling. So, you know, I think that there is definitely a resolve that exists within that potential conflict and tension, but that's really only the time where I've seen it where there's just a mindset shift that's required in terms of the reality of the day-to-day. A lot of companies hope and of course wish that everybody at their company is you know, being their best selves and they're thriving and they're, you know, having these experiences that are super positive. But the reality is in many, many cases, you know, there's a lot of experiences of biases and microaggressions and, you know, there's not opportunities for career advancement and individuals have challenges with their direct leader and don't feel like they can, you know, go to their leader's leader to have these conversations because they just haven't built out sort of equitable structure or processes in place to make employees feel comfortable.
What do you say to maybe some companies or people that would think, hey, if we have an ERG, and you touched on it a little bit, maybe it would lead to some internal division that maybe wasn't there because one group is specifically about, let's say, ableism. There's that group, but then there's one group about another topic, like how would you, like, they aren't in direct conflict. They're more about like, you know, here's an issue or here's a group that wants to learn more and be confident about this versus another. Like, so how would you answer that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's a great question and certainly something that I've, you know, come across quite a bit. And the reality is I think that, you know, companies do need to be okay with the fact that employees from historically excluded populations typically are in the minority. So global majority, but workplace minority. So, you know, from that perspective, it's perfectly acceptable, okay, and should be encouraged and celebrated for those individuals to come together to support one another in whatever challenges that they're having. And the reality is if you don't actually want to see that or you do feel like it causes division, then perhaps having focus groups or conversations with those employees to really understand, well, why do you feel the need to create this group within the company? There's usually a very, very real need that lies at the heart of the experiences they're having day to day within the workplace that they're a part of that is driving this, hey, we should actually form a group so that we can educate our colleagues or, you know, do more sort of awareness on the challenges that exist to, you know, be a person, you know, as I am coming from my particular sort of diverse dimension. That's really what companies need to do is like take a step back to really understand, well, you know, usually these things just don't come out of nowhere. So if it is coming up with our people, then maybe we should have some further conversations to understand why it's coming up, where is it coming from, and what can we do about it? But the reality is, particularly in this, you know, hybrid world, and as we think of the future of work, you know, companies are in this place where they really should be encouraging employees to build community at work. You know, there's science-based, you know, sort of research to talk about if you have a best friend at work that you actually, you know, will stay longer, that if you feel, you know, purpose and engaged at work, then you perform better, you know, all those kinds of things. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons in this war for top talent that companies are in right now to actually create the structure within your company that allows your employees to feel most connected and to really feel that sense of belonging. That sense of belonging is so key in employee experiences. So, you know, that would certainly be my recommendation or my advice if companies are thinking through it in that way, is to really take that step back, you know, assess any data that you might have focus groups or conversations with individuals who are wanting to start it. Because the reality is that, you know, even though a group is coming together to support one another, it doesn't mean that they're exclusive. And in many cases, they're completely open to allyship. And there's a lot of allies that I've personally seen that, you know, are more, what's the word I'm looking for? They're more focused and they're even more intent on sort of driving equitable practices within companies because they recognize their power, their privilege, and their position within a company, and they want to do something good with it. So they're a part of those groups as well. So, you know, it's not exclusive. And you usually see, you know, folks who, let's let's just say are part of your, you know, your LGBTQ, you know, group, who are also a part of your women in leadership group, who are also part of driving, you know, anti-Black racism with you in your company, because they recognize the need to really drive diversity for everybody. And they're a part of, and they want to be a part of raising that awareness.
How would you then, you know, once you have the infrastructure set up, and obviously it's probably a bottom-up process, there's a good number of people who want this group to exist. Mm-hmm. If you're in a major like a large or enterprise organization, how do you encourage people to join? Because you're going to have turnover, you're going to have new people coming into the organization, or people switch roles or whatever that is. Let's say you're a global company too, and you know, it's all over the place. Like, how do you keep that membership? Like, how do you encourage people to join? Because sometimes you're like, I don't even know that this group exists in my company. And, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a really great question. And I think for the most part is very much in line with how you think about employee engagement overall and keeping that high. So, you know, the same strategies that you use to, you know, keep your volunteers or your donors and all those is really the same kind of strategies that you use to communicate across the business to let folks know that your ERG exists. So if you have a, you know, a sort of structure where you have an executive sponsor, if you have the structure where you have champions across the business, where you really do want to sort of implant these individuals so that they can be advocating for your particular group or advocating for diversity, equity, inclusion overall within the business, and then encouraging people to, you know, get to know the different types of groups that exist, you know, what those groups are about, and then encouraging their participation. A lot of times ERGs will drive their membership through events that they will do. So, you know, they'll host an event within their workplace, and then folks, and then the event is basically put on by your Black Employee Network, as an example, for Black History Month. And then folks will be, oh, we have a Black Employee Network and they're doing these kinds of things. What else are they up to? What are their goals? You know, can I actually join? And then, you know, from a very tactical standpoint, you need to have a place where you can communicate. So, you know, whether that's done through Slack or it's done through, you know, Microsoft Teams or email, or, you know, in Benevity's case, we have the, you know, the affinity group product where we can actually have folks come together utilizing the technology. But you definitely need to have a place where people can go to signify that they're a part of this group, and then, you know, consume information from the leaders of the group, and then also kind of share and, you know, gather and, you know, learn together. So whether that be Slack or otherwise, you really need to think about building that part out, because folks often want a place to go to basically signal, hey, I'm a part of this group, you know, I joined this Slack channel so I can be, you know, receiving information around the different events that they're going to do or the things that they're focused on or how I can get more involved.
And I think we're coming up to the question that I think a lot of companies who already have an ERG or you know, just got their ERGs going is, how do you keep people engaged? Because it's a tough thing to, you know, people have different things going on in their lives. And I would imagine there's some, you know, core members, but you need a lot more people to engage to keep that group going, right?
Yeah, I think regular communication is so key. For me, I always recommend that an ERG have a communications lead so that you can communicate out to the membership on a fairly regular cadence. You know, thinking through sort of the two tracks of your membership. So your core members who are a part of the particular group. So, you know, if it's a women's group, let's just say, then you have your women, you know, who are a part of that, who are a part of the membership, but then also you have your allies, you know, outside of the women's group within your company. So, you know, thinking through what are the specific things that those folks will need, and doing, you know, events or bringing folks together on a monthly basis, you know, whatever sort of cadence, you know, to come together to really ensure that their needs are met, and surveying them to understand what are their needs. So do they have needs around mentorship? Do they want professional development? Would they like to hear from speakers or any of those things, to really, you know, help their professional development as employees within your company? So you're ensuring that you're kind of meeting the core members' needs. And then from an allyship perspective, it's really getting allies involved to help to build their education, their awareness, you know, asking them how they would like to be involved as well. You know, what are the types of things that they would like to do as being a part of this group that you can also help to drive. So, you know, that communications piece is huge. I typically do encourage folks to think through kind of those cultural awareness dates that happen throughout the year and use those as a nice marker to kind of, you know, collaborate or celebrate, you know, any of those types of events. And then also working very closely with your people team or whomever is driving your diversity, equity, inclusion strategy as to, well, how often are we going to meet and what are the types of things that you might need from me? And then regularly communicating that back to the business so they can also see, you know, maybe it's at an all hands meeting around, okay, well, this is what this ERG is actually working on. This is how they're moving the needle on equity at my workplace. And, you know, that's how you typically will encourage them to get and to stay involved. A lot of companies will write from employee onboarding, you know, let folks know that they have these ERGs at the company, and this is what the groups are all about, and this is how you can join them. These are the roles that you will typically need. And then thinking through a succession plan on an annual or, you know, semi-annual basis as well. So, you know, how are you going to continue to kind of have that core leadership group as part of your ERG structure so that your ERG can actually stay in existence? Because in many cases, ERGs are being done off of the side of individuals' desks, you know, in addition to their day-to-day roles as an employee. So, you know, it is difficult where, to your point, you move roles, you move, you know, teams, you move companies in some cases. And so having sort of that built-in structure where you're actually thinking about the longevity of the group and the types of things that the group is doing, that really helps to generally keep that engagement. But I think communication is really, really key, and figuring out how and when to communicate and what. So even if you're doing things like surveying, you know, on a regular basis, or if there's something interesting that's happening, you know, in your particular community, putting that out there. You know, I've seen companies that have had things evolve into book clubs, you know, where everybody's encouraged to come together and learn, or movie clubs where, you know, everybody watches a particular film and then, you know, has a nice discussion on it. So, you know, things like that can really further the interest of the group. And they're also fun ways for people to kind of come together as well.
In your opinion, do you think every company or business really needs an ERG?
No, I don't think that every company needs an ERG. I think it really depends on the culture of your company and really, are there employees within your company that actually have a need for it themselves? You know, so I would say your best case scenario is where, to our conversation earlier about bottom up, when you have employees who feel the need to come together or who feel the need to support each other or who feel the need to sort of, you know, commemorate some of these cultural awareness dates and stuff like that, you know, they then will want to establish this ERG. They'll work with the company to, you know, get the support and to establish it. But I'm certainly not a proponent of creating ERGs just for the sake of creating ERGs. They really should be based off of a group who has an affinity towards each other, you know, based off of, you know, a shared identity, based off of shared needs, shared experiences. So if you don't actually have anybody who wants an ERG based off of need for their particular group, then I don't think that you need to create one just for the sake of creating one. In those cases, if you do want to, you know, celebrate diversity, equity, inclusion, or you do want to sort of drive, you know, diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives, you can have an inclusion council, you can have inclusion champions across the business of individuals who all, you know, they want to step up to just ensure that diversity is top of mind for how the business operates overall. So you can certainly have all of that without, you know, forming all these kind of small and separate employee resource groups specifically.
So Janelle, any final thoughts or comments on ERGs?
Just that I think when done well, they can be a fantastic, fantastic resource, you know, to the business and to employees. I think that, you know, what I've certainly seen in my time at Benevity and some of the ERGs that we have, it's really just, it provides a safe space for employees to come together, for employees to collaborate, for employees to learn from each other, you know, in that safe way. It provides a great sort of voice of the employee as well, where, you know, this is the reality of my experiences day to day. It provides a mechanism for leaders to actually hear those stories and that voice as well. And I think that they can be a fantastic asset to the company from a recruitment perspective and attraction, you know, retention perspective as well. And I think that a lot of companies, for the most part, really do have their ERGs, you know, held to a great standard, and they provide that, you know, support back to the ERGs as well. But I think that there's an opportunity for some companies to really think about the structure and, you know, do you reward and recognize your ERG leaders? And do you actually provide them with the time in their day-to-day work, you know, for them to run the ERG? Or you do have the full expectation that they're being run, you know, off the side of their desk in the morning and the evening on their personal time? I've seen some companies like LinkedIn and others where they actually have a stipend for ERG leaders because they recognize the work that goes into creating and maintaining this structure is quite significant. And I've also seen where companies have actually taken sort of the results from the ERG and just the fact that, you know, an individual is running these ERGs into account in performance management time, because then you're actually, you are driving culture. You're driving some of the core business goals around, you know, building community and culture and all of those kinds of things as well. So I think that they add a lot of value and they add a lot of benefit to both employees and to the company, but I don't think that they need to be had just to be had. It really should be something that there is a need for, and that, you know, there's going to be support for, and that there's going to be continuity in terms of individuals who do step up to lead the group. So I think if you have all those things in place, then absolutely, I think they can be a fantastic addition to culture at a company and really help to drive your DEI goals.
So Janelle, we could talk about ERGs for a long time, but if our audience wants to connect with you, what's the best place to reach you?
Go ahead and connect with me on LinkedIn. That's the best way to do it.
Thank you for listening to The Social Impact Show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Then visit benevity.com to access some of the resources mentioned in this episode, along with tons of other insights to help you grow your program. Music provided by Ikeson. For questions or topics you want us to cover, reach us at podcast@benevity.com. Until next time, be a force for good.